stillness in the room.
Yeah.
A sense of a gathering hum doesn't, of course, mean that it's easy. It's a sign of work going on. Working with the framework of the Noble Truths, the Four Noble Truths. The first one we've been coming face to face with, I would say. There is suffering. Any chance of not noticing that? Importantly, not I am suffering, right? There is suffering. Causes and conditions culminating in this moment, this experience. We know also that suffering is not inevitable. There might be unpleasant physical feelings, there might be unpleasant mental feelings. Is that suffering though? Second noble truth gives us the cause of suffering, that craving, ignorance of the reality, ignorance of the Dhamma, craving, moving after this and pushing away that. So the sensations, the thoughts, the moods and the emotions aren't the problem. Where suffering arises is in the way we respond to it, isn't it? And of course that's also where freedom arises. Same place. Continuing to prime ourselves in this way. Can we be with what's arising without moving after it or pushing it away? Can we stay present enough with love, with compassion in the heart, these natural qualities that are right here, always available? That orientation, from that orientation, can we just receive what's there as it moves its way through based on past causes and conditions? And it's just in this moment. We don't have to think about the millions of other moments that may or may not come. Just this moment. This is all we have to contend with at any given moment. Moment by moment, maintaining a curious, open awareness of direct experience, seeing the coming and the going, and then seeing enough of the coming and the going that doesn't seduce in the same way anymore or repel. That's the third noble truth, isn't it? Sensation. Sensation. The cessation of holding on to and pushing away the conditions for our suffering. Sometimes in the moment it can feel complex. Complex thought. Complex set of sensations, not quite sure what I'm feeling, thinking, what's this mood coming up from behind me. So it can help to keep it simple, not simplistic, but just keeping it simple. Drawing on some of these wonderful frameworks of the Buddha. Oh, this worrying about the amount of work waiting when I get home or something. It's not even real. It's not here. It's not here now. Can I just see it as restlessness and worry? Oh, it's another hindered state. That's all. That can happen in a moment. The seeing and then the letting go happens. Otherwise there can be minutes, if not hours, of getting lost in that story, worrying about it. It's a stark choice really, isn't it? Given those options. And if we've settled out of some of those more intense forms, those more intense hindered states, there's still that energetic movement mentioned earlier, that reactivity, that energetic shift. And so that's why we're staying in the body, refining awareness or attention, so that we're more and more attuned to the energy shifts in the body, the energetic movement toward and away, catching it at its root. And of course, alongside unpleasantness, there can be pleasantness, especially a couple of days into a retreat, yeah. Maybe the pleasantness of a walk, the swaying of the body, the soft sun of this season of fall, the gentle, cool air on the body, that sort of physical sensory pleasance. Harmless enough, but then there's a deeper kind of pleasure that can arise as the mind starts to collect. Simply staying with the deliciousness of breath incoming and outgoing. Orienting to that quality of breath, the pleasantness of the breath. As it leaves a gentle brush stroke through the body. A kind of very gentle anesthetic. Doesn't make the mind dozy, but it softens the experience. Brings a quality of delight, a wellspring of brightness. These are helpful, these are conducive conditions to cultivate. Just as the Buddha remembered sitting under the rose apple tree, remembering from his current state of deprivation, exhaustion and hunger, remembering those pleasant feelings as he sat mindful of breathing, of in-breathing and out-breathing. Recognizing that these aren't sensory desires that lead into suffering. There's subtle pleasures provided on the path, by the path, leading us inward and onward. And of course, if we start to grasp after them, then we're in the realm of the first and second noble truths again. Suffering and its causes. Yeah, so we're just relaxing back. Setting conditions in motion, but without, not with an energy of intense striving. Sometimes you can notice it when you're sitting. It started with maybe a softened face and body, and then after a while, the brow is furrowed and the eyes are screwed tighter and the jaw starts to firm up. And those are indicators that we're striving, putting our nose to the grindstone. It doesn't get us very far. If we come back to the simplicity of working right on the edge of the present, just here, just now. Simple attention, keeping the spine upright, relaxedly upright. And that does a lot, that releases all sorts of tensions, opens up the lungs. Breath flows more easily. And we keep attending to the phenomenology, to the touch of breath. And that's our home and our anchor. As the thoughts, the moods, the difficulties that come up, they just do their thing for a while and off they go. They might cycle back a few times. And that's why it's a practice. That's why we cultivate again and again. But it's not all uphill. Not in control of the results of the practice, but we can be pleasantly surprised along the way. Signs that encourage us to keep going. And so if the mind is wafting off somewhere in that half-dream state that the digestive body can bring up, kind of la la, half fantasizing, half worrying. It can feel a bit like nothing much, not a problem. But that's your energy leaking away right there. And all it takes is a really simple gesture of uprighting, a resolve, just as the Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree, resolve to awaken, treading the very path that we're all treading now. So I take this opportunity, uprighting the body, aware of the body, the whole of the body. So that some wandering thought doesn't lead us off up, out into the head, because we can feel it in the body. We know what kind of thought or mood this is, because it shows up. Contraction or expansion in the body, other kinds of sensations. We get to see how these patterns of thoughts and moods have been impacting us all this time without us realizing it. Yeah. And now we start to see it. Mm-hmm. Oh, when I get those feelings I'm not good enough or something, there's a slight tightening in the jaw. The chest seems to contract a little. Less oxygen coming into the body. Doesn't feel very pleasant. And if we see this as it's happening live, two things can occur. We can counteract it by breathing more fully, opening up those areas that are contracted, and changing the body in that way. Changes the mind. Or from another angle, simply seeing the negative effects of negative thoughts in the body. Seeing it, we start to lose fascination for those stories. They start to drop away. So this is a practice that takes all of us. It involves all of our attention. That's all. Just everything. Show up, we sit here. We're practicing together in a field that's really well established. Yeah. All the layers of support that Cloud Mountain offers and that we all offer each other. Yeah. Willing to be here. Willing to give each other space and silence. An ethical field. We're all observing the five precepts. None of us will have killed anything in the last few days. I'm sure of it. Not intentionally. We're sharing resources, not taking them, and so on. So we have the conditions that we need. We understand enough of the teachings to put them into practice, and here we are. Yeah, so let's do it. Let's keep doing it. Letting the body maintain a sustainably, comfortably upright position. And letting the eyelids be just slightly closed if they're closed. Face is relaxed. The softness spreads through the body. The breath, as though it's the whole body breathing in, breathing out. And the soft, powerful loveliness of the breath permeates the whole of the body. And we continue to perceive that delicious quality of breath, and it amplifies. And it seeps into the body through and through. Body, breath and mind merging. And we just keep coming back again and again. There may be a skin tingling loveliness that washes through the body, piti, joy through the whole body as the mind starts to gather. Bringing that resolve to the practice. Every moment with the breath is gathering the forces of the mind. Every moment out in random thoughts, we're leaking out that energy. And that's all right, we come back, we notice it and we come back. Abiding in the loveliness of the breath, its effects through the body system, through the breath body. And that piti, as we stay with attention on the in and out breath, or the breathing generally, the piti starts to settle into tranquility as the mind continues to gather force. Cultivating a state of alert tranquility. Priming the mind to see things as they are. Mind freed out of hindrances, steady, stabilized mind is capable of seeing arising and passing without being deluded. And this is what we're cultivating, moment by moment.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.